from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who's wondering, was it Simon or Garfunkel, or was it them in, what do you call it, in harmony, that once pondered time, time, time. It's time for to get sleepy, because it's time for sleep with me. I guess they didn't think that. They were saying that. They might have been thinking it. How about, does Garfunkel still post all the books? Is it okay if I call you Art? Sorry, you're just in, oh, you're not the real Art Garfunkel. You're my imaginary kind. Okay, anyway, guess what, Art? It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that I, the podcast that hopefully puts you to sleep. And the podcaster that couldn't think of one more joke involving Art. Anyway. What do you say we get on with the show? I think you're supposed to say it's time for sleeping podcast to put you to sleep. And here's the ways we're able to keep this podcast free for everybody. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping Pill Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you to hear, because these are the listeners that took action to keep the podcast free for everybody. And so we celebrate them here. We celebrate Mel, Leanne, Graham, Adrian, and Nancy, who all gave the gift of reciprocity this year, value for value, by becoming patrons, giving back to the show. So they have the peace of mind. The podcast will be there. They also get all those sweet, sweet rewards. And then talk about super patrons. I want to thank Julie C., My Fair Spanky, Vicky T., Karen K., and Blue T-Shirt Grant, who are entering their fifth year of being patrons. Thank you, everybody who's a patron and you support the show. You really, really should be proud because the podcast has been around another year. And you've been a big part of it. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. I want to thank Julie, My Fair Spanky, Vicky T, Karen K, Grant, Mel, Leanne, Graham, Adrian, and Nancy. If you want to be a part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, support a sponsor, tag them in a social media post. Let me know about it. Let them know you heard about them on Sleep With Me. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Bard, you got a new podcast ready to launch about writing song a day. Ian, there's a lot of people to help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullaby song.
Making a podcast,
writing songs.
It's called As It Happens.
Song the day,
and you can find it.
Just search for it.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Veil Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. And remember, this holiday season, just let somebody know about the podcast or any podcast at all. Show them how to listen to podcasts on their phone. Teach them how to use a podcast app. Show them how to search and subscribe to shows. It's the season of giving, so give out some podcasts. Thanks, everybody, and let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do, if you wish, all you could do or could try or you could ponder is to get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. So, you know, it could be things you're thinking about, things on your mind. There's stuff always on my mind, as Willie once is saying, or somebody else who I think that's who's saying it. Things are always on my mind. I'm not even kidding. But it could be thoughts, it could be feelings, emotions coming up for you. It could be physical sensations, changes in time, temperature, routine, travel. You could have a work schedule that's not exactly conducive to sleep, which a lot, and you know, I know how that is. Second, third shift. You could be working on the road. You could have, you know, you could be sleeping where you work, which is, you know, I've heard from, so I know how that is too. And, you know, working on ships, trains, a lot of different stuff. So whatever's keeping you awake, though, I'd like to, submarines as another one. I said, what, should I say submarines? But yeah. But whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that. What I'm going to do, or what I propose to do, is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you. Oh, I said that part. You're right. I could use a periscope that goes right by, that says, where was that thought? I just, let me scout around for it. But what I'm going to do is create a safe place. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. I'm going to go so far off topic and ramble. My meanders are so pointless. You know, you could just call them meander nubs. It's been a while since I've talked about my nubs, so maybe I'll talk about that. Meander nubs. Now that could be the Sleep With Me breakfast cereal. I think the marshmallow bits would be the meander nubs. Because the main name of the cereal probably wouldn't be meander nubs. I mean, I would eat that. But usually you get it like with something like nubs from a cereal branding standpoint, which is one of my imaginary hobbies. I would say put it in the, you know, now with marshmallow meander nubs. There you go. Then we snuck in alliteration too. And you could even double alliterate it. Fruit flavored meander. I guess that's hard for me to say. Fruit flavored marshmallow meander nubs. It's another great question. As I go off topic early here, would it be? It wouldn't be flakes. I'll tell you that much right now. Though if we're gonna have marshmallows, you couldn't probably have like grains, which is like I guess I'm going on the record for this one just because I was thinking about it last week. I didn't make any purchases. Now this isn't my favorite cereals of all time, but I do have a strong preference for both kinds of pebbles, fruity and cocoa. I think one because of then the milk is drinkable. Two, I just like their consistency. I don't know. There's a lot to like about them. Now I realize they're not for everybody. So this is not me, pushing my cereal-based belief systems on you. But I do wonder with either one of those, if we were to, make a version of that, I don't know if it would need marshmallow. Because usually marshmallow is meant to balance out something else with sweetness. In my new book called... I don't know what my new book would be called, but a treatise or whatever. The Cereal Eater's Manifesto. I don't know. If you're new, I go off topic a lot. And when I go, it's like watching a car run out of gas, which you rarely do. But, maybe in a cartoon or an old, what are those movies called? A silent movie. You see where the car kind of putters and putters and putters. That's a bit like this podcast. Now, here's the thing. If you're new, I'm here to help. And the way I do it is like I'm basically nonsensically and goofy. So I just want to set some things up for you. So if you're skeptical or you're like, I don't know about this, that's perfectly normal. Almost every regular listener is said, oh, it took two or three tries before I got used to the show. Though some people fall asleep right away, or, they fall asleep a little bit faster the first night than the second or third night, it starts to work better for them. So if you're not sure how to feel about that podcast, I just want to, acknowledge that that's a really normal and regular response, because this is a very different show. So structurally, it's different, too. It starts off with business. That's how we were able to keep the podcast free and not behind a paywall. And then there's an intro. Now, the intros are different, way different than regular podcasts. It's like 12 to 14 minutes, which is really only about, 25% of the show of me kind of rambling, setting up a premise of the regular podcast, just friendly banter. I mean, where else do you get to sit down and the serial speculator? Maybe that could be my magazine or a pamphlet I put out. Serial fiction. My life is a serial fictionalizing breakfast cereals. Where do you get to do that? And where would it make sense? It could only make sense in the construct of part of a 12 to 15 minute intro of a sleep podcast that's nonsensical. So the intro is like around 12 to 18 minutes or so. And most listeners... So there's about 2% of listeners that just skip ahead to 20 minutes or 18 minutes, and then they just start listening there. But those are kind of veteran listeners. Then there's like regular listeners that listen on Patreon. They get all story-only episodes. But most listeners, they either start the podcast as they're getting ready for bed and winding down, or they're in bed unwinding and winding down, getting comfortable, turn out the lights and press play. So kind of see how it goes for you. But I guess my premise around sleep podcasts, which now there's more and more of them. But, you know, when I first started making it, it was just kind of this idea, and it kind of developed. It wasn't this way at first. Was I found out people, you know, you need room to breathe and to unwind and to slowly get settled down, ideally, and to slowly realize that I don't need to be listened to, which is another important point about this podcast. You're not going to miss anything. You could replay it again if you need to. Ideally, you just kind of slowly drift off into sleep. I take your mind off of stuff, then your mind kind of stops listening to me or only half listens. Other thing to know is that there's no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the episodes are an hour and I have 300 episodes ready to go for you is so you have plenty of time to fall asleep. Or if you can't sleep, you know, I'll be here to keep you company. I make this show for that percentage of people that aren't going to be able to fall asleep as much as I do for all the people I put to sleep. Because a big part of my job is to be your companion, your boar bud, your boar bay, your boar sib, your boar bestie, your boar bra. You know, if you like those tasty waves, I could be your boar bra. I don't know. Maybe I'll think of some more. But you know, I'm here to keep you company if you can't sleep, or here to keep you company as you drift off. So that's the structure of the show. So there'll be an intro, then there's some business, then there'll be a bedtime story where, you know, I'll talk and it's very similar to this, but more fictionalized. And then there's some thank yous at the end. So that's the structure of the show. I make the podcast because I've been there and I know how it feels, tossing and turning and trying to get to sleep. And I really, truly just want to help so that, you know, you don't have that rigmarole. Because I do truly believe you do deserve a good night's sleep, that your world and our world will be a better place with you rested, with you flourishing. You know, I know how it feels. So what can I say? I've been there. Give the show a few tries if you're new. I wish it worked for everybody. I wish it worked instantly. I mean, I wish, you know, what I would give this podcast up for. People say, Scoots, what would you give up the podcast for? Well, I mean, I don't think the Tooth Fairy seems like a lot of work. So I don't know. I think I'd want to be the Tooth Fairy. But if I could, like have an outfit like the Easter Bunny sometimes, you know, as long as it's breathable, but be like the Sand Person where I come and then I could just, you know, do that thing. I mean, again, I'd need like superpowers or something because I couldn't just get everywhere all the time. But if that was a real thing, and maybe if it was done by a supercomputer, like a magical supercomputer where I just monitored it, maybe if I had a team too of monitoring it for me and I said, check what's going on in quadrant 44 PZQZM Florvlon. And they'd say, well, that's in the globular occidental the spandex galaxy, Scoots. Yeah, we got a couple people having trouble getting to sleep there. And I say, okay, all right, let me, you know, get the sleep dust projector ready and send it. And then those beings would fall asleep, and I could do the same for you, for everybody, in a much more effective, efficient way. That would be great. But for now, I can just make this podcast to keep you company. Ideally, it's like mild humor, too. So say, oh, well, at least I have Scoots to keep me company. He's kind of almost like funny, like amusing. So I got that going for me. So to ease the dread and seriousness of bedtime. But again, see how it goes. I really appreciate you checking the show out. I'm glad you're here. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive, and I really want to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways to keep this podcast free for everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switch to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time for our holiday traditions, which was the Christmas tree that took a walk, or the holiday tree that took a walk. You know, everybody has a different preference in way they celebrate the season. That's what our ongoing story is about, the great holiday cookie adventure. And this is these have been tales of... previously in the holiday season of a Christmas tree that took a walk. It was on my car as a kid growing up. It blew away, and there must have been some magic in those old frost piles it found, because this Christmas tree then walked back to my house during a snowstorm. Also went and visited some holiday tradition. You know, when you did some other stuff. But this year, oh boy, does that, the tree, it was, because here's a little secret about holiday and Christmas trees is, I mean, you probably don't realize this, but a lot of people complain about the sap, you know, that's one thing I've heard people complain about, and the water. I guess I don't want to get into too much of the spirituality of holiday and Christmas trees, but they do, it's just important to remember that you say, well, isn't it a different tree every year, Scoots? And I'd say, what is that job on the movie set called where you check all that stuff? Holy mackerel. You're good at this. That's why I'm addressing this subject right now. Is those there's timeless molecules. So let's just say that Scoots, can you give me a science based? So you want me to give you a? You want me to elaborate on the spiritual and the science based linkage between Christmas trees, holiday trees, and me through my lifetime? Yeah, here you go. Timeless molecules. Look it up. Believe me, it probably, right? It's a time. There's timeless molecules. Also a famous song. I don't know if it was Paul Anka that sang that one. No, it's Don Ho. It was for a convention. Timeless molecules. It was for, it could be just a science convention, but about molecules. MoleculeCon. Have you ever heard of MoleculeCon? It's not a thing yet, but one day, holy cow. So maybe one day after I get everything ironed out with imagining RomconCon, first of all, I'll probably have to Google MoleculeCon. And I'll say, okay, that's already available. So then I'll have to call Molecule Con. CoolCon. We'll just call it CoolCon. Let's lock that down. Then we won't sell any tickets because people will be like, you'd say, okay, I'm sorry. I don't understand what that is. Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. I didn't. You're right. It was my mistake. Boy. Okay, so where was I? I got a little bit, anyway, we do these holiday series, right? and it was a holiday tree that took a walk, the Christmas tree that took a walk. And this tree's had a lot of adventures, so year after year, going places and stuff. And of course, we have pitch sessions, because I say, well, what do you got on, I don't want to say I'm a tree mentor. It's more that the tree's my mentor. I mean, you figured that out. So we had this pitch session, and the tree said, well, I'd like to go explore the world, you know, and do more than just to hang out with you in the holidays, and, you know, be of service, of course, to more people, maybe not even have it related to the holiday season. And I said, really? That's you don't really want to spend the holidays with me? What about, you're supposed to be my Christmas tree? And then the tree pointed out the fact that, I talked about this last year, but I did get a artificial tree, which I guess we hadn't talked about. So I said, okay, sit down then. Let's talk this out. And I'm realizing you're having feelings about the artificial tree I have with built-in lights, because it said, did you hear the story about how I got it? The listeners probably have, but maybe the listeners in the past year haven't heard it. I did go out looking for a holiday, because, you know, I moved. I hadn't heard from you. One, I know you like to stay mobile, so I don't usually have a holiday Christmas tree, because just because of who I am, I don't realize it till, you know, the time has passed. And then I think about the watering, the purchasing, the having to have a stand, and then one of those things that goes on the floor, tree skirt. I wish I was more equipped to do those kind of things, but I realize I am not. But last year, my parents were staying with me for Thanksgiving. And, of course, I was trying to figure out what to do with them one evening. And, you know, to put joy, holiday joy, Christmas joy in our hearts. And I said, well, let's go, what do you say we go buy a Christmas tree? And we went to, I hadn't bought one in a long time. And when we got there, we started looking. It was early in the evening. I mean, it was dark out, but it was probably, it got dark early, 5:30, 6 o'clock. And I believe might have been drizzle. I think it was just drizzling. And then we started looking at trees, but they didn't have any prices up, which is never a good sign. And then we were kind of separated, and we said, well, I wonder how much these trees cost. And then we found out, and we realized that that was not a price point we were comfortable paying for this tree. And I said, that's a tree? I said, are you sure that's not some sort of shrub on its last vestiges of existence? And the pricing was just and I've heard there's, in the Bay Area, there is a few places you could get a tree for reasonable. And again, I'm not looking to, I work on a sleep podcast, but, you know, I know that it's hard, to say, well, this is the market value. But it seemed very high. So we bought it. Christmas tree. It was my mom's idea. She said, think about those trees. They could be wandering free in the world. And here at the hearth in your homestead, you could keep it, the tree as a symbol of the tree that you carry its flame in your heart. A spark in your heart for the joy the wandering Christmas tree brings you. And I said, you couldn't have summed it up better, Mom, for a sleep podcast, really, that, we'll just buy an imitation tree. It's just more a symbolic tree, but it literally is an imitation of you, a tribute tree. That's what we called it as we hung it and we sang songs of your glory. Oh, we sang, oh, Christmas tree, how we miss you. I'm with, you know, but we celebrate you with these imitation branches. Well, man, what a night it was. The tears we shed, they were tears of joy and whatever that thing is that's like positive sadness, like a little grief, but more of a, when you look back at the past in a healthy way, with sadness, you know, where you say, well, I'm missing out on my time with that tree, but it's out wandering the world. Now, I'll tell you the truth. The fact of the matter is, there's two different aisles. I don't know if you've been in Home Depot, because that's where we went. That was the only place you could think of, because we're already in the car with my parents, okay? So it also cut me a little slack. It was drizzling, too early to eat dinner yet. And so we had to have something to do. And so we went to Home Depot, and I said, there's people there that offer you greetings. And I said, hello, greetings to you as well. And then I said, how can we assist you today? And I said, where are we? No, that part didn't happen. But I said, yeah, do you have any tribute trees? We're in search of a tribute tree, a tree tributing, you know. And they said, like an imitation tree, but more glorious. And I said, exactly. And they said, well, we have two sections, so I don't want you to get lost, because there's one section for replacement trees. Those are Christmas trees and holiday trees to replace evergreen. So that's a replacement tree section. And the reason I want to tell you is it looks very similar to the tribute tree section, except, you know, for the that music that sounds like silver and gold bells harmoniously ringing. And, you know, the people in the tribute tree, you know, the wet eyes of joy. And, you know, the people in the tribute tree section, those are the main differences. So just keep an eye out for those things, and you'll know you're in the right section versus the replacement trees. Which are there, you know, so you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's not that this tree symbolizes your irrelevance, or your change in your relevance. It does not make you irrelevant. I keep trying to say that to people. Or by giving this tree, this tribute tree, relevance, it doesn't change how relevant in my heart you are, right? So, anyway, I thought we were going to talk about. So I thought we were going to talk about your feelings. Does that help make it when you talk about your feelings that I'll feel okay about them? I just wanted you to have all the information. I wish you could have been there, because I can't even do the speeches justice, or all the, you know, all of the memory. Holy cow! So that's. I just wanted you to know that, if that's why you're. Not keeping in touch with me or whatever. But I heard you had a project you wanted to work on. Okay, tell me. So so usually you walk through my memories, right? And that's, right, that can be very singular. Okay, so now you want to branch out. That's hilarious. That was an unintentional pun, huh? Yeah, we got lucky on that one. So you're thinking, oh, like inspired by the podcast, you want to go around because you're a tree. Okay, so this is only because you're a tree. You're going to go around the evergreen forests for the sleeping trees. Those are the trees that haven't obtained sentience yet. Okay, I'm with you so far. You're going to gather pine cones. So you're going to be in an evergreen forest with pine cones. Okay, you're saying that in a generalized way. Got it. You want to gather inactive pine cones. It would take too long to explain to me. Okay, but let me just try to, make sure I'm understanding what you're saying, okay? So what you're saying is there's some pine cones that are active, like they could be, they could have, like the, those are like the seeds or something are in there, right? That other trees grow from. And some of those, like, I don't understand the whole mechanics of, you know, believe me, it, like I didn't, I knew the, what, if I told you what I learned about the birds and the bees, you wouldn't be, you know, a highly functioning tree. You'd be a bit like me, you know? So, like, yeah, can't even share an Nestle podcast. So I don't know a lot about that stuff. But so I, my understanding is, like, some of those would be, like, function. You're right. Functioning is the wrong word. But ready for the spring to grow a seedling or something. I mean, yeah, I know. But in a general way of understanding, there's cones that just are, that are just pine cones, but they don't have the potential of a tree in them. And those are the ones you're picking up. Perfect. So we're under understanding now. And, okay. So where, like, so you, where would you, so you're going to collect pine cones or, okay. And then you're going to, oh, distribute them as a symbol of the season. Okay. Because it's only symbolic, like almost like a tribute to the season, just like some people might do with a, it's almost like you're doing what I'm doing, even though you had strong feelings about what I did. Not to take your feelings away, but like you're taking a pine cone that actually is more of a tribute to a pine, even though it's physically a pine cone. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm almost ready to move. This is why, can you see, the, yeah, I've got the yeah. Okay. So we're in alignment here, really. We just didn't know it. And you're going to start distributing them or give them to people to distribute. Okay, interesting. Is this, okay, it's a symbol of the season. So where would we start? Oh, you're going to hand these to me. You're handing two of them to me. Okay, and what am I supposed to do with these? Okay, you're... Oh, you're pointing to the randomizer, so I should check the randomizer. Hot High School, that's what it says here. And out of a list of 400, that's what came up. Yeah, okay, does that mean anything to me? It do, believe it or not, it does. It bling, I know I have an exact memory, and I should bring the. I wish I could bring these cones to the people I impacted in that. I thought I talked about this once. Well, it was that season. It, I don't know what the exact thing was, but I was at high. It was when I was in high school, and it was very hot. It was winter, very cold outside. Yes, so cold, right? Where the heat was blasting. Yeah, and we had a. Actually, I think it was a mass because I went to Catholic high school, and it was a mass in the cafeteria. For some reason, maybe because I don't know why, because this is the only mass I'm aware of that was in the cafeteria. Yeah, I'm with you. And we had, I think it was so full that some of us had to sit on the windowsills, which happened to be where the heat registers were. Yes. And my friends and I were sitting there, but we were also in front of a window. And it was literally below zero outside. And there was four of us, I recall. I don't think there was, yeah, there was four of us there, sitting there. And I was furthest away from the window. And, I mean, I'm not trying to, I could have behaved differently. And a lot of this residual displeasure from other not great choices I made. But so throughout the mass, so there's a mass going on, right? Like a religious service. And that's also high school. But the kid, you know, the kids know that you should behave respectfully. But, and again, I'm not going to name names or anything. There was four of us. And most of us were very hot. So I think what happened was the window would get opened a little bit so that the air would come in, but the air was very cold. and two people couldn't agree on the temperature. Now, maybe I was involved in that, but I don't honestly, in all honesty, I don't think I was involved at all. I mean, maybe I said, please leave the window open. I'd rather be free. Like, I'd rather have the cold breeze because it was really warm. And we probably had sweaters on anyway, possibly. So, but I guess like two of the people were like, they were having strong disagreements. So it was constant back and forth thing. And it's probably disruptive. Normally, I mean, I would claim if I was being disruptive. So I'm not saying I wasn't. And eventually, now also, it made, like I said, there was residual things from other very poor choices I made. So this school had a high school and a junior high school, middle school. Now, as soon as the mass was over, someone very upset, someone from the middle school came up to us and expressed their displeasure because it was very disruptive. And also because I had made bad choices that had impacted this person previously multiple times. They probably rightly assumed that this person called over the priest probably the principal of the high school, maybe. Well, the principal of the high school maybe knew about it or whatever. But they called over the priest, who was also a teacher at the school, but, you know, had administrative discipline, ability to discipline, and said that we were, you know, that we were in trouble, like, and that I was the ringleader. And this was one of the few times, I don't think I could be, I'm more like a person running around the ring. Person that puts the rings down. I mean, I'd be the person that goes, do, 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 you know, that kind of thing. Or that comes up with the idea of the circus. I don't know if I'm ever the circus starter as opposed to the ringleader. But in this case, I wasn't the circus starter. And so then we had to go and wait, and then we get, you know, but from your perspective with these two, what are these called? Pine cones, right? Christmas cones, we could call them. Christmas, you know, like, I hope you got a lot of these, because if you're going to give them to me, like, cone-based amends I got to make is, So then, so I guess, like, if I had a time machine and cones, I would give them to those two adults and say, hey, I don't think I would try to excuse myself. Like, in our situation, it was different because I said, I don't want you to feel like you got replaced. You didn't get replaced by an artificial tree. We didn't buy a replacement tree. That's a different aisle. They even had ones that were called supplemental trees, but we went to the tribute tree section. At least that's where we intended to go. Like, that's where our intentions were, to get a tribute tree, a tree that stands in evergreen tribute to you, and your. So, trees and multi friends beyond the binary, trees and multiforms, right? As Doctor Who might say, well, it wasn't Doctor Who that said it, whoever announced it on that space station. Okay, so I would give, those would be who I'd give them. If you say warm high school or hot high school, that's exact. So I guess, so those would be the first two I would give out, I guess. So is that like, what would I say? I would say, geez, I'm sorry that, well, I guess like for the priest, I'd say, geez, sorry, I was disruptive during your service. It was very disrespectful of me. I don't know. I mean, I think part of me would be tempted to say, you know, it was 8,000 degrees, it felt like, on the registers, and then the window was negative. You know, it's hard to find. Maybe I'd say it was tough, like, having to do mass in the cafeteria, and we apologize. It was distracting. We were kind of having a debate about the hot versus the cold, it wasn't proper. Maybe we should have asked an adult what to do. I don't know. Is that me getting out of the apology? I mean, it's hard for. So I said I was wrong. What are the four steps? I'm sorry. I was disruptive during your service. I was wrong to be disruptive. What can I do to correct the situation? Also, I have a pine cone for you. It is a symbol of my understanding of making is a potential. You know, there is a seedling in me that doesn't want to be always disruptive. So now for the other administrator, it would probably take a lot longer. We might need a mediator, mostly on my end, because I don't know, other than not being happy, I guess I'd say, wow, I made a lot of bad choices that impacted you, including it must have been really distracting hearing all that noise about the hot and the cold, and I'm sorry that we disrupted the service. So, also all that other stuff. I'm really sorry, and I'm really sorry for the time I was waiting for the bus, that thing. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Is there anything I can do to fix it now? Because, I really wish I would have made better choices back then. And also, here's a pine cone as a symbol of, by the way, happy Christmas, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, happy holidays. Here's a pine cone. By the way, it's not a functioning pine cone, but it's still technically a pine cone. It might not even be from a pine tree. It was gifted to me by a sentient tree that, unfortunately, can I give you a pine cone? Would that be strange? You're collecting them. Is this only going to be my, okay, so then the next one. Okay, I'm checking it. Clue Land is the next thing. So what does that mean as far as pine cones and where you're going? Hopefully out of my memories. You're giving them to me again. Okay, other cone. So Clue Land makes me think of the board game Clue. So that makes me think of board games. I don't have a ton of, a couple things about games. You probably know this since you've been in my life as a holiday tree, Christmas tree, but I used to drink too much. And so that's important for a couple of things. I don't feel like I can make that it's proper for us to use. I don't want to make any, I don't want to give out any cones related to that. Because I say, well, there was a time, we were playing at your sister's house or whatever. That's better in person, huh? Okay, but that said, I think I have a more generalized memory of where I could always be better. So I don't know who I'd give those cones to, but it's I do get competitive when it comes to board games, no matter the age range of the people playing. I don't know who would I give that to, because it's that I really want to win, especially when it's something, I don't know if it's competitive. It's wanting to, I guess it's that relevance thing. It's I want to figure out, especially in Clue, that game, especially as you're going around, I say, wow, I think I might have unlocked this puzzle. So how do we fix that? Because it's I never understand this. I mean, I know some games you say, well, I'm going to ease up a little bit. Or sometimes you forget and you say, next time I need to ease up a little bit. Okay, maybe seeing it through the eyes of the children. Oh, am I playing Clue against 4 and 5-year-olds? Maybe. I mean, it's possible. That's maybe why I'm, you know, I'm like 18 and 1. Okay, but I do have a more memory. This was when I was like under the influence, but I don't think it's an intense memory, but it's like one where I say I probably have some apologies to make because I probably was not on my best behavior. So, and it, I don't know if it was, it was a friend who always had a holiday party, a Christmas party. I don't think this was their Christmas party, though. And we were playing Trivial Pursuit, and we might have been playing like an 80s edition or pop culture edition. Okay, and here's what I remember. And I mean, it's going to be tough for me to like make myself look good and bad at the same time. I was in a very loose mood. I was probably somewhat cogent because or whatever cognizant, whatever the right word is, I was teamed with one of the hosts of the whose home it was. And they were a kind of person whose gameplay is normally like apologetic, like, oh, I don't know if I like my team to feel confident and needed. And you don't have to know every answer. It's the answers you know or that you think you know. We're a team. There's no apologies needed, but also we're going, we're gonna do really good, don't worry. And so I remember that was one element. It was like, okay, you really want to celebrate our victories, especially when it's other persons. Also, the other team, like, I think there might have been even more than two teams, but it was really like a two-team game. So there was another team, and they were friendly, but also competitive, I think the term is heel. I was real heel. I didn't realize it at the time, but it was also one of those just dominant performances. It was some Trivial Pursuit, which is like a trivia game, which again, I don't think this might've been just a rare thing because my knowledge is very limited. And my recall is not that great. So I don't know how this happened, but so basically we went on this tear where we were answering, every time you answer a question correctly, you could roll again, or you have to answer questions. This game of Trivial Pursuit I'm explaining, because I know you've had it under your tree for other people, but now it's a game you bring to Goodwill. You either get to roll again or you get like a little bit of a pie, like a pip piece that you need to accumulate in order to win the game. And we were going on streaks where we're like, usually it's really not an easy game. So you might answer a few questions in a row. But the chances of you like stringing together, but we were stringing together, like it was almost like we were just dominating the game. But also I was acting like we were dominating the game. So I was doing a lot of, when I got it right. And when it was really hard or when my partner and I like brainstormed an answer, I was being very loud and pointing. This is just not normally, I'm very reserved normally, but also I want to like just to say, well, I was being over the top and it probably wasn't okay behavior. It's not rare, especially in those days, you know, when I didn't realize, I'm trying to be good at stuff. I didn't find what I was actually good at to be useful to people. I mean, that's the real truth so I guess I had a little bit of a combination of what inferiority, like my self-esteem needed a little bit of a healthy, massaging. And so any chance I had to let all that out and feel like, that's why I was acting that way. Partially. It wasn't okay though. So I was kind of, that's what I was doing then. So, yeah. So who would I give it to? I think I would have to give one to everybody at the party, especially the people playing on the other team. So I'd say, geez, I'm, you know what? I acted like a real heel at that game, a real jerk. I was wrong. I got carried away, and it's not okay. Very disrespectful. I know if I was playing against someone that was behaving like me, it would have been really tiring and not fun. So I'm sorry about that. Is there anything I could do to make it better? Or, you know, I also have these Christmas cones for you that symbolize the fact that, I was wrong. And I guess everybody else would probably say, you know, I used to really, that was like poor behavior on my part. And I'm really sorry about that. Probably was disruptive to the party, maybe. Or to the host, they say, geez, I probably alienated some of your guests. So, sorry about that. Here's some holiday cones, and is there anything I can do to make it better? I guess the other thing I would say is, it's just, you might have strong feelings about my behavior, and that's totally understandable. So, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to say it like I wasn't sorry, because I was. Okay, so time for another random number generator. Okay, so I'm going to have it. It's 104 or 105. 105. Okay, heading to 105 is a Balatron. Baltron, actually. Baltron. Hopefully that one doesn't involve me, does it? You don't know. Well, so let's talk out what Baltron could be. Baltron, there was Voltron. And Tron kind of to me says robot or mechanical mech. Baltron, it seems like it could just be like a little bit of a, it could be like a transformer, probably not. Okay, so, so I guess it is more apologies I have to make. I can think of a few about this one. Not big ones. Those are like, I guess these are like the most mild, this is like a podcast of mild men's. It's good to like this is, I guess you're right. This is like a really positive thing you're putting me through. I appreciate it because it gives us a chance. There's like there's no shame or regret in any of this. It's really powerful. Maybe that's what is ever. Oh, apologies are always evergreen. Is that a double like apologies are evergreen apologies? So, yeah, I guess I'm trying to have as much enthusiasm as I can. So, let's see. Oh, boy. There's three things I can think of I don't know. Well, I guess, like, this is a real small one. So, I'll start with it. Because as soon as you said Transformers, it reminded me of, like, in the 80s, for a time, there was competing Transformers and GoBots, which were like so there's two brands of robots that would convert into vehicles. They also both had their own TV show, a cartoon, animated television program. And I don't know, Transformers were a little bit more, usually the Transformers were made from die-cast metal, and GoBots may have been only made from plastic. And I played with both. And here's something that wouldn't be surprising, since you're a tree in my life, is, I played with toys for a long time. And I wish I played for toys for longer. I know in sixth grade, and then even in seventh grade for a little bit, I played with toys. But I can remember, and I think this was in sixth grade, he also had a little bit of, it was from a family of six kids, and my parents were very generous, and they made a lot of sacrifices on my behalf, and making sure we had plenty of toys to play with was a part of their holiday Christmas joy. And so But I also, like, knew that there was other kids that always had more, right? And I guess, like, again, to go back to that other thing, it made me feel, like, a little bit, like, wanted me to create fiction of where I had as much as they had, which maybe they didn't, maybe, you know, who knows? And maybe I had, like, I didn't appreciate how much more I had than most. So, like, I'm thinking about that in a way. The reason I say that is, this is a very tiny memory, but it's weird that it always stuck with me. This feels like, have you ever thought about being, I guess an evergreen tree can't be a therapist. I thought you were going to walk the earth and do this, and not just, yeah, well... So, I guess what I'm saying is that I have this very clear memory in sixth grade when a lot of kids might have stopped playing with toys. And I think I was talking to one or two kids, and we were talking about, I don't know if we were talking about toys or I was just, and this, I guess this is interesting though to me because it was doing what you would call nervous talking, which now I do as an adult. And the adult part of my brain says, well, boy. And I say, well, no, this is what I've always, this is kind of like I always think it's something new that I have to conquer instead of saying, well, this is just part of our makeup. And maybe we could just get some tools and some adjustments. I was doing this nervous talking, right? And I was talking to these other two kids and I was talking about, like, all the holiday gifts I was going to get, which none of them were true, and, like, kind of imaginary bragging, and saying, and I remember because I said that probably in my stocking would be a Bumblebee, which you just had a great movie a year ago, would be a Bumblebee Transformer, which is not an inexpensive Transformer when those came out. It's probably at least 10 to 20 bucks. Which would symbolize, like, that was like a symbol, that would be a symbol of, like, ostentatious wealth in my childhood mind, that in your stocking, you were getting a $12 to $20 toy. Holy moly. And I don't remember what other webs I spun, because actually the best Transformers I had, I actually bought with my own money from my paper route, I think, For the most part, I think I can remember paying for my own Transformers. And I guess I just feel bad about that because, okay, you're right. I just always remember that because they say, well, I guess I do feel bad, not negative bad. I feel sad that I was misportraying things. Now, I think the one young man that I was speaking to that I know was in the conversation. There might have been someone else in the conversation too, though. But I know the one kid, he was like, I was under the impression he was very well off. And it was just him and his sister and his parents. So I guess I can't, but he wasn't like a real bragger. So I don't know why I felt so. So I feel a little bit sad that I was giving him the wrong impression. I guess I feel sad for the kid part of me that felt like, hey, like, you know what I'm saying? Like spinning a childhood fiction, but not in a negative way, right? You're right, I don't. I just feel like I want to give them both a pine cone and say, hey, it's okay. Yeah, and that goes to this other memory that I have of Christmas. And I don't know, maybe I haven't ever talked about this on the podcast before, so thank you for empowering me to do so. And actually, it goes to my, like, working too, because, so it does go full circle. So I used to play with Transformers and G.I. Joes, which was another action figure type toy and other toys. But I fantasized about getting this one. It was a hovercraft. It was a G.I. Joe hovercraft, and for a long time, that's all I wanted. All I wanted for Christmas was this G.I. Joe hovercraft. It was very big. It was very expensive, too. And when I say expensive for a Christmas gift, it was probably, it couldn't have been, I would bet it was $29.95 to up to $50. But I don't think it was anywhere less than $25. I don't think that was at all possible. So it was an expensive, very expensive toy. And I remember saying to Santa Claus, this is all I want. Like, maybe I should let my parents know too. That's the only thing I want. And I think I was fantasizing about playing with it for a long time because it had all these different things and it had a sled and you could play with it. Like, I wanted to play with it in the bathtub. I fantasized about finding a river or a pond because it would float. It was a hovercraft. It was for land and sea. And I thought I could really have, I was like, when I played with those toys, a very similar podcast, I was immersed in the world of imagination. And now seeing things as a parent, I guess I view things much differently from my parents' side of things. But so I was like 100% of the impression that that's what I was getting for Christmas. So when that Christmas came, and I kept waiting for that gift, and it did not appear, like it did not, I did not get that gift. I did get a helicopter from a movie that did not do well, that I think they expected to do well. It was like a helicopter movie. It was a helicopter. There was like two helicopter things. There was a TV show called Air Puppy. Jan Michael Vincent and Ernest Borgnine were on that. And then there was another one with Roy Scheider from the original movie about Guppy, the summer movie, the summer blockbuster Guppy. He was in a helicopter movie, and this helicopter was based on the helicopter from that movie. It might even been called Blue Thunder. It might have been the name of the movie. And that was what I got as my main gift. And I was and I did handle this. And then my brother, who was 2 years younger than me, so we played a lot together, but we still had our own things. He got two smaller. So I got like a couple G.I. Joe figures in this helicopter. It wasn't remote control or anything. It was just a toy. And then my brother got, it might have been combining 2 years, but whatever. So my brother also got some toys. And I remember feeling a little bit jealous about the toys he got, that they were better. And then I said, well, why, how come I, what did I do? Or how? And then I said, well, it's just too expensive, I think was what I kept telling myself, this hovercraft. And I remember being disappointed, but also like knowing it, I was old enough to know that that would not be. I think I had thrown enough FITSs as a younger kid to know, hey, your parents are sacrificing for these things. Show some appreciation and joy. So I remember saying, oh no, this is so much better than the hovercraft because it flies in the air. And it ended up being a toy I did really enjoy playing with at whatever age I was, 14. But I do think I need to give out pine cones like to everybody involved there, like all my family, because, I mean, one, like my parents went out of their way to create it. Oh, boy, I just remembered another one that we don't have time for. So, like, I was just going to try to have a heartfelt moment, but then I just thought of another one that I have. So should I go into that? Okay. Probably the listeners would want to hear my mistakes more than my healing, huh? Right, because it is healing. But I would say that, you know, my parents and my siblings, I want to give them cones of love because of, like, they make my life special even today, and they made it that way then, and I didn't always appreciate that. And then I would want to give one to myself to say, hey, it's not easy being a kid, and I wish I could be there to coach you along the way, and we could coach each other along the way to say, hey, you kind of do have, it's okay to also have mixed feelings on the holidays. It's totally understandable because you were hoping for that. Now, I did end up buying it and getting to play it in the bathtub a few times with money from my paper route. So it all ended up, or some other job. I think it was my paper route, though. and I got the pride of ownership. But my last, I guess, my last cone to give out, and this is one I'm not sure I totally buy everything. Like I don't know if I have all of the facts here, but so I guess once I stopped playing with toys, so this would have been a few years after that, when I was supposed to be going on dates and stuff like that, but I started to play computer games, and there was this one year, and like I said, we didn't have the most advanced computer, but there was some games that were really well, the developers were very good, so the games would perform no matter what system you were playing with. Not only were the games really good, but the graphics performance, they could make the most out of whatever processor you had. Whether it's like simple graphics, they could look good or whatever. And then there was this martial arts story-based game. I don't remember the name of it, but I know it was like very cool. And where, you know, somebody was doing martial arts in pajamas and sneaking around. And I had asked for that for the holidays, and then I found it when I was searching searching through my parents' room, probably looking for that stuff. And then I couldn't wait. So then I, like, and it was in, like, plastic wrap, so it was a mistake to think that would be able to get away with it. But I opened it up, and I started playing with it. Because I figured, why not? I'm going to get it as a gift anyway. And I didn't, it was hard to, sneak. It was, probably, only an hour or two when nobody was home. Because the thing was, the hard thing was you needed the disc to play. The copy protection was you had to have the disc and the disc drive. You couldn't just download, put it on the hard drive and play it. Otherwise, I would have just copied it to the hard drive and then put the disc away and been done with it. So good job on the copy protection. I'd give a Christmas cone to that person, too. Now, unfortunately, what happened was my mom was the kind of person who she would buy gifts on layaway, and she would also buy gifts and return them, over the year. So she'd say, oh, I'm going to buy this. You know, I have $20 now. I'll buy this for Andrew. But then maybe she would reassess things. So this gift was reassessed, and when I opened my holiday gifts, I was like, Christmas gifts, I was like, holy cow, that's whatever. It wasn't Karate Ka, but it was something like that. It wasn't there. And I remember years later, or maybe even then, coming clean to my mom and her saying it was kind of a hassle to return it or exchange it because it was opened. And I think the story even claimed that there's a virus on there, which probably was not true because I don't think that's possible. But so, and I don't know what gift ended up getting gotten instead. I think for something like a remote control car for one of my brothers, maybe. That was Radio Shack, by the way, which is no longer with us. So I guess I would give one to my mom. I guess, can you give one to yourself for being somewhat crafty? Yeah. But I don't know. I like the idea of this. I'm glad we talked about it. I hope you go on your journey now and give out those. But yeah, it's like, I guess it's an important gift at the end of the year, right? Is to think about, hey, I was wrong and I'm sorry. How can I make this better? How did it feel? I think that's the fourth part is, tell me how this impacted you and how you felt about it. That's what I had a hard part with you, with the tribute tree. So it's probably the place I need to grow up this next 12 months is saying, is being open to that. Going and saying, giving out, is it possible for me to give myself tons of cones, because, you know, I'm kind of only being half kidding to say, hey, it's that's a little bit hard thinking about that. Making apologies, writing these as letters or whatever, or bringing it up again with my mom or my siblings, saying, hey, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't. Sometimes with your parents, it kind of feels like, I guess it's important still, though, but if you just say, oh, well, you know, you don't need to apologize. But yeah, so I, you know, those are, I guess this is what a holiday gift you brought me this year. What a way to, no, really though, to think like, yeah, there's always room for growth, and healing. That's really what part of the season we forget, I guess because there is like these highs and lows, and the healing kind of takes place right in the middle, huh? And remember that there's a holiday cone there for everyone, you know, whatever you want to call it, and to hold it and say, huh, like, yeah, and maybe just to give yourself one right now, maybe hold your hands together, cup them like there's a cone inside. And take a breath and realize you are a gift to this world. And then give yourself a gift of empathy, of compassion and caring, and saying, you know, a little pat on the back or a hand on the chest to say, okay, it's not easy. We're not perfect, and that's okay. And then we haven't been perfect in the past. But yeah, that we could kind of make apologies for it too. Oh, thanks. Sorry about the tributary thing. You know, I didn't really, I guess it could have been more clear that we weren't replacing you. And that it's just like, you know, again, my parents were, this is, okay, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry I didn't tell you that we were getting, or just ask you how you felt about me having an artificial Christmas tree. If I were to do it again, I would have talked to you first. You must feel strong. Like, how do you feel about that? Do you want to talk about it? Okay, that's good. Okay. Is there anything I can do to make it better? Love the tree like it was real. Done. Happy holidays and good nights. All right. I want to thank everybody who became a patron recently over on patreon.com. Graham, Sandy, and Charlotte. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Adam, Andrew, and Jolene. Thanks, and good night. Peter, Cheryl, and Kent, thank you, thanks, and good night. Jessica, Anne Marie, and Amanda, thanks, and good night. Maxime, Asher, and Invisible, thanks, and good night. Katie, Rosanna, and Robert, thanks, and good night. Raina, David, and Michelle, thank you, thanks, and good night. Kaylin, Angela, and Apathetic, thanks, and good night. V, Jody, and Peter, thanks, and good night. That's Peter R. Also, Peter M. Thanks, and good night. Doug, Jessica, and Leah, thanks, and good night. Eric, Randa, and Michelle, thanks, and good night. Lindsay, Adun, and Elizabeth, thanks, and good night. Lenore, Olivia, and Rosie, thanks, and good night. Alice, Deborah, and Tara, thanks, and good night. And Scorn, Gina, and Brian, thank you, thanks, and good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show on Patreon. Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast because the people who supported directly on Patreon or through the sponsors or through other means like merch and live shows and that kind of stuff. What else? We grow as a podcast because people that spread the word. So I really appreciate everybody. It just lets one person know about the podcast. And speaking of letting you know about podcasts, here's one I want you to know about. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.